Let's get it on right now.
Welcome to the Monty's Rockcast Year End Special. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey. Welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
Who is this moron?
So glad you could join me for the year-end special. And what an incredible year it was. It wasn't really that great. Most of the music I heard and TV shows and movies I watched weren't very good. And like usual, I was just frustrated with society in general.
You're intolerant.
But there were some good things that happened this year, like Lindsay and I bought a house.
That's great.
However, the week we moved in, my van broke down.
Oh.
So I was left with no other choice except to buy a used vehicle, in which I ended up purchasing the Hellmobile. So far, I have put about $1,000 into that hunk of crap, and it is presently leaking some kind of fluid that I cannot identify.
It's evil.
However, we've enjoyed the house we're in so far.
Oh, good.
Except for the leaking refrigerator that we had to replace.
Oh.
The toilet that will not stop running.
Ah.
And the central air unit that sounds like it's about to fall apart.
Ah!
Of course, a home is not complete unless you get some kind of pet to come in and try to destroy the whole place. And for that, despite my pleading against it, my wife talked me into getting a cat.
What a wimp!
Lindsay told me, oh, you'll love the little thing once you get it in here. But no. Mr. Kitty has already ruined the carpet in what was to become my man cave. But despite my threats to make a pair of slippers out of him, he still remains.
Yeah, it's so sad.
On a better note, Galactic Cowboys did another reunion show in Houston this year, and it was awesome. Throw in the numerous murals I did for School of Rock and other businesses and people around the world, I guess I can't complain.
Yes, you will.
Or at least I'll try not to.
Yeah, right.
Of course, as always, I spent most of my time making these podcasts for you. And during the year, I played all kinds of cool tunes for you. And some of those songs turned out to be great. But what were my top 10 favorite songs of the year? Well, let's start it now at number 10. From the Devin Townsend CD Ziltoid 2, this is Fallout. What a great musician Devin Townsend is, and I love the groove in that song.
It slaps me in the face!
Song number 9 is from a new band called Devil You Know. It features former Killswitch Engage singer Howard Jones. And if you're a Killswitch fan like I am, and you like the older stuff, which I do, I think you'll find it was a pretty good album.
No, it wasn't.
And one of my favorite songs on that disc was this one. It's called My Own.
With all I am, I have tried.
One of my favorite CDs this year was from the band Of Mice and Men. A couple of years ago, they lost their lead singer, and I figured this album would be just a bunch of screaming and nothing else. But I was pleasantly surprised. They came back with some great songs with a lot of melody. And my favorite song, number 8, came off that CD. It's called Feels Like Forever. Okay, I know you think everything on my list this year is gonna be screamo stuff, but you would be wrong. In 2014, Sebastian Bach, of all people, put out a CD, and when I first got it, I thought I was just gonna make fun of it. But it turned out to have some really good stuff on it. In fact, it was a little bit hard picking out which was my favorite song. But I finally went with this one. At number 7, it's Harmony by Sebastian Bach. I love that chorus, and I like Sebastian's voice. He gets a little bit like King Diamond once in a while. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Absolutely not.
But a really good song from his CD, Give 'Em Hell.
Yeah.
I'll get back to the countdown of my favorite songs later, but right now, it's time for the Rock Casties. Yes, you've been waiting all year for this, and it's finally here. The Rock Casties.
What the hell is that?
These are my awards picked by me for the best and worst in entertainment, music, and life in general.
This is a big deal.
And let's start it out with the award for the least surprising thing that happened in 2014. And the nominees are... Barack Obama ignores the Constitution. Taylor Swift wins an American Music Award. But I was least surprised to hear that Scott Stapp of Creed had freaked out and is now homeless.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah!
Yeah, I didn't say I was happy to hear that. I'm just not surprised.
Uh-huh.
Next, the award for Best News of the Year. And for me, it was hearing that REM broke up.
Fabulous!
Yes, it's always a good day when one of your least favorite bands of all time calls it quits. But when that band is named REM, it's time to celebrate. Thank you, Michael Stipe, for your obnoxious leftist rants. And for leaving us all with such classic songs like Shiny Happy People.
Hate it.
Yeah, you will not be missed.
Not at all.
Now, it was kind of a disappointing year in music for me. Most of the stuff I heard just sounded like the same old thing. But then came along the new CD from Nickelback, and they were not afraid to take some chances. And for that reason and that reason alone... Well, actually, there were many reasons. But this year's Rock Castie for the worst album of the year goes to Nickelback with their CD No Fixed Address. I know Nickelback takes a lot of criticism for their unimaginative songwriting and their douchey lyrics, and believe me, it's all well deserved. But it was a dream come true when I heard this CD and knew that I was gonna have an endless supply of rock cast material. Thank you, Nickelback!
They used to be my favorite band.
Now, for best concert, this is a tough one because I didn't go to that many shows this year.
Why?
Because unless the name of your band is Shinedown or Five Finger Death Punch, you don't even come to Kansas City. And Lindsay and I ended up driving out of town to see most of the shows we saw this year. We went to St. Louis to see Warped Tour, and we drove all the way to Lubbock, Texas to see We Came as Romans.
Are you stupid?
But the best concert by far was Galactic Cowboys in Houston, Texas.
Huh?
I know a lot of you weenies out there told me you couldn't make it, but if you didn't see it, you missed it.
All right, enough on your stupid band.
And now the award for the worst thing in 2014. I know the media would have you believe that the worst things were racism, guns, and Bill Cosby. But the Rock Castie for the worst thing of the year is the media.
What?
It doesn't matter whether it's the nightly news, ESPN, or Survivor. They all want to tell us how to think and feel about everything, and to them I say, go to hell.
This is a very bad attitude.
Now, along those same lines, in the category of worst trend or fad of 2014, the nominees are hashtags, teenage douchebags on YouTube, and the word selfie. But the Rock Casty for the most worthless trend goes to people who support terrorists and criminals.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, it was a year of protest and outrage. And the U.S. government spent about $40 million researching as to whether we had mistreated terrorists involved in 9/11. And everyone else who wanted to feel good about themselves for a few minutes took to the streets to protest police brutality.
Yeah! Woo!
Let's ignore all the facts and just feel sorry for a couple of losers who were breaking the law and ended up getting a beatdown. And while we're at it, let's wear some t-shirts that say, I can't breathe.
Oh yeah!
But I've got a better idea. How about we make up some t-shirts that say, I can't believe people are so stupid. Or how about, I can breathe because I didn't resist arrest.
Say what?
You know, if people really want to do something worthwhile and protest against the police, how about we start a campaign against all the worthless traffic tickets? We could wear shirts that say, I can't drive. Just leave me alone and let me get to work.
I'm down with that.
Switching topics, let's do a few sports awards. Starting with top sports moment. And for me, it was the San Antonio Spurs crushing the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals. Sure, it would have been great just to see LeBron James lose. But the fact that they just got their asses completely whipped was such a pleasure.
It was a joy to watch.
Now, the most surprising thing in sports in 2014 was my Kansas City Royals going to the World Series. They came out of nowhere and did our city proud. And even though they didn't win the whole thing, they made me love baseball again. Unfortunately, the award for least surprising sports moment of the year went to the Kansas City Chiefs. They blew a 28-point halftime lead to the Colts in the playoffs, and this year they have continued their commitment to mediocrity.
This isn't surprising.
And finally, in a world where it's getting harder and harder to like any athletes because they're all such self-absorbed jerks, sharing the title with Kobe Bryant and LeBron James for least favorite athlete of the year is Nick Young from the LA Lakers.
Who the hell is that? I don't even know.
I know you probably haven't heard much about him yet, but trust me, he is an up-and-coming a-hole. I don't know if it's got something to do with wearing an LA Lakers uniform or whether all these new players these days are just unlikable. But Nick Young is definitely at the top of my list and worthy of a Rock Casty. Returning now to the countdown of my favorite songs of the year. This is from one of my favorite new bands, Ice Nine Kills. It's off their incredible CD, The Predator Becomes the Prey. At number 6, it's Power and Belief. I saw Ice Nine Kills at Warped Tour this summer, and they blew my mind. Just a great band with great songs.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
Stop us now, what we will become.
Number 5 on my top 10 is from Alisana. They released an EP this year, and every song on it is really good. but my favorite one was a tune called Nevermore. Number four on my list is once again from Ice Nine Kills. For most of the year, this was my favorite album, and it had my favorite ballad on it. This is called What I Never Learned in Study Hall. Returning now to the Rock Casty Awards, and let's do some best and worst in TV.
Can you not do any better than that?
And the award for best TV is a hard one, because after watching Breaking Bad last year, nothing even compared to that. And so I was basically reduced to shows like America Doesn't Have Any Talent and things like that. But I will give the best dramatic series to Bates Motel.
Didn't watch it, not interested.
For the best comedy, I'll go with a show on E!, which is called The Soup. It's hosted by Joel McHale, and it's always good for a laugh.
Honestly, I don't watch it.
Now, for the worst TV show, I'm going to give the Rock Casty to pretty much every reality show that I watched this year. Whether it was Survivor, Hell's Kitchen, or Big Brother. They all appear to be scripted or fixed, and they're all predictable now. In fact, I can guess who's going to win just based on political correctness. I mean, you wouldn't want to kick certain people out of the house, regardless of how obnoxious they are, because you wouldn't want to look like you're homophobic or racist.
Intolerant!
Yeah, I couldn't help noticing that the winner of Survivor this year was a black girl, and the last two winners on Big Brother have been a gay guy, and this year, a cop.
Your point is?
It's interesting, I'm just saying.
Hate
Fishmonger.
Now, in the category of TV show that was most uncomfortable to watch, the nominees are American Horror Story.
That's scary.
Yeah, my wife makes me watch that with her, and she loves it. I hate it, and God, is it messed up.
Sick and twisted.
But if you need some reassurance that you are a normal human being, just try watching about 15 minutes of the next nominee, My Strange Addiction.
That's disturbing.
You see, there are people out there who actually can't stop themselves from drinking gasoline or eating toilet paper all day. And what better way is there to tell the whole world, hey, I'm a weirdo, than to just go on TV and talk about it?
The whole thing seems warped.
But the most cringeworthy show for me has got to be MTV's Catfish. Granted, I don't watch it very often, but when I do, it's always the same. Some poor guy falls in love with some smoking hot chick on Facebook who lives in another state. But for some reason, he can't figure out why she won't come and see him. But the MTV guys come in and arrange for the girl and the guy to finally meet up after all these months of talking on the internet. And you always get that awkward moment where the guy's dream girl comes walking out of the house and it turns out she's fat and unattractive. And of course, all he can say is, you lied to me, and I don't think I could ever trust you.
How sad.
But here's the deal. If that girl ever comes walking out of the house and she is smoking hot, I promise you, that guy's gonna go, oh, I don't know if I can ever trust you, but I'm willing to work on it.
Yeah.
But there's a reason why hot chicks don't have to make fake profiles. It's because they're hot.
Great point.
And now in the category of best naked show.
Well, you have my attention now.
If you've got cable TV, you might want to check out the Learning Channel and find out how to buy a house naked. The name of the show is Buying Naked. I mean, after all, nudists have to live somewhere. And so while they're trying to buy a house, why not film it?
I love this idea.
The second nominee can be found on VH1, which used to be a channel that was kind of music related, but now it's where you can find a show called Dating Naked.
That's fabulous!
It's kind of like all those shows we've seen over the years where two people get together and find out if they're compatible. Except now they start out with, hey, here's what I look like without any clothes on. Glad to meet you.
That to me is tremendously exciting.
But for me, the best of all the naked shows and winner of the Rock Casty is Naked and Afraid. This is where a man and a woman get dropped off in a jungle and try to survive without food or water for 21 days. That would probably be difficult enough by itself, but hey, let's make them be totally nude.
I think that that's perfectly fine.
Now, something else that I like to watch are these tattoo shows. And it's strange because I don't have any tattoos myself, but I like watching shows about tattoos because I like the art of it. And I secretly wish I was a tattoo artist, but I just can't see myself doing that and putting something on somebody's body that's going to be there for the rest of their lives. So I watch shows like Ink Master and Best Ink, but the Rock Casty for Best Tattoo Show goes to Tattoo Nightmares.
Yay!
This is all about people who have horrible tattoos and they want to get that tattoo covered up with another tattoo. And all this reminds me of a really good song by Stephen Lynch.
You got a unicorn, butterfly, angel wings in her thigh. Queer tattoo, that's a queer tattoo. Flaming skull, smoking pot, that's the opposite of not a queer tattoo. It's a queer tattoo. You got a Tweety bird, you got a school mascot, got a Hello Kitty, tell you what you got. Got a queer tattoo, such a queer tattoo. You think that symbol in Japanese means strength or honor,
nigger please, it means queer tattoo. That's a queer tattoo.
Yeah, I think we've all seen a few queer tattoos, and I'm always amazed what people decide to put on their bodies. Because something that you think is really cool when you're in high school may not be so cool when you're 40. And some of the people on Tattoo Nightmares will come in with some pretty messed up stuff. And they'll say, you know, I really don't want my kids seeing this pentagram on my back or this poorly drawn phallic symbol on my thigh. And the tattoo artist will say, oh, dude, what do you want me to cover that up with? And they'll say, eh, I was thinking about a frog.
Huh?
And I'm like, a frog? Who wants a frog on their body? But then again, I guess that would be better than a tattoo of your ex-girlfriend's name.
A seriously queer tattoo. And by queer, I just mean bad. It wouldn't mean gay unless you had
a pink triangle on a rainbow flag with a bear wearing leather and a red ball gag.
That's a queer tattoo.
A literally queer tattoo. Ba 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 ba.
Now, once again, I did not see many movies this year. I rarely go to the theater to see anything, but when I do, it's usually to take the kids to some cartoon. But a couple of weeks ago, Lindsay and I did rent the Seth MacFarlane movie, A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Well, it's about time.
And I had heard that it wasn't very good, and I wasn't expecting much, but I laughed a lot, and I liked it quite a bit.
Aw, oh, sweet.
So, the movie of the year, A Million Ways to Die.
You could not be more wrong.
Now, the worst movie of the year, I'm going to go with Exodus. Even though I did not see it. But just based on the previews, the fact that I could not tell the difference between Exodus and The Hobbit, ought to tell you something.
What are you talking about, you deranged idiot?
Now, in 2014, you had news stories about Obama and Ebola. But regardless of what the story was, the news media made you think it was a huge deal. But the rock castee for the most overhyped spectacle that turned out to be nothing was Michael Sam being drafted by the St. Louis Rams in the NFL draft.
Fabulous!
I heard ESPN talking about this for weeks beforehand, and on the day of the draft, they had cameras there in his house, and sure enough, he got picked in the very last round. And everyone was so proud of him, and he was making a big scene with his boyfriend.
Flaming!
Man, well, I don't need to go into all the details. If you want to see it, you can probably find it on YouTube.
I'll advise people before watching it. It is indeed very gay.
Yeah, and after all that, he went to training camp and got cut.
Don't!
But thank you so much, ESPN, for that.
It was really enjoyable.
And finally, returning to the category of music, the rock castee for the worst musical artist or band of the year goes to, oh, we have a tie, Ariana Grande and One Direction. Well, congratulations to both of them, and they are fine representatives of just how bad the music industry is today. You see, I grew up in a time when there was no auto-tuning, and if you were a female, you didn't have to be 20 years old and look like a model. You could look like Janis Joplin and still have a career, but no longer. And when I heard Donnie Wahlberg on the American Music Awards say that boy bands still rule, well, I just had to say, no, Donnie, you are wrong. Boy bands still suck. They're teenage boys who are put together and created to sell product to teenage girls. And after a couple of years, they usually fade away and they're replaced by a new group of teenage boys. But this endless cycle of disposable pop stars is one reason why I agreed with Gene Simmons this year when he said, rock and roll is dead. Sure, you can still have a band and play at your local club and make an album that all your friends can steal off the internet. But unfortunately, these days, if you're not 20 and good-looking, well, good luck.
Again, more idiotic analysis.
Yes, what's left of the music industry is truly pitiful. And the crap that FM radio tries to throw at us every day is equally lame. But on the bright side, if you look hard enough, you can still find good stuff. And that's why in the category of best podcast, the Rockcasty goes to the Rockcast. And now back to the countdown of my favorite songs of the year. And at number three, it's Machines by Crown the Empire. Oh my God, was this song good, as was this entire album. It's from Crown the Empire's CD, The Resistance. It had all the ingredients I love in a good CD stew. It had a lot of melody with a pinch of hardcore, but enough variety to pleasure my musical palate. At number two on my list of favorite songs of the year, it's by Killer Be Killed. And the name of the tune is Wings of Feather and Wax. It's about Icarus or something like that. And when I really want my skull crushed, I put this on.
Now I'm falling like
Killer Be Killed is kind of a super group project. It had Troy Sanders from Mastodon and Max Cavalera from Sepultura and Soulfly. Overall, I wasn't crazy about the whole CD, but this song rules. I really wish there would have been 9 more songs on the CD that were this good, but hey, I'll be thankful for this one. All right, now for some year-end resolutions.
Oh, goody!
First of all, I'm going to try and spend less time at the gym. I tried to do this last year, and I did a really good job. In fact, I ended up dropping my gym membership. So I don't look for this to be any problem.
You can do it!
Next, in 2015, I need to spend less time with the kids.
What?
Yeah, I know it sounds horrible, but let me explain. You see, the other day, I thought, you know, I'm actually going to try and hang out with them. And so we play this game called Pick Wits. And you've got all these cards with pictures on them, and then all these cards that have phrases on them. And the object is for each person to pick a picture that goes best with the phrase. And so the phrase that we're trying to match is, take me to your leader. And so I look through my cards, and I have a picture of a green alien standing there with a bunch of humans. And so I think, oh well, I've got this one, and I slap my card down. But instead of mine, the kids end up picking a picture that has like a monkey holding a bowling ball. Well, you can imagine my outrage. I said, are you freaking kidding me? Have you never heard of Take Me to Your Leader? It's about Martians and aliens talking to humans. But the kids just looked at me like, geez, sore loser. So, as you can clearly see, I need to spend less time around the kids.
You're just a bad parent.
Another thing I like to do when it comes to New Year's resolutions is I like to set goals that I can easily achieve. That's why this year I'd like to watch more TV and spend less time making new friends.
That's possible.
But more than anything in 2015, I just want to be good to myself. And that's why this year I'm going to attempt to eat 25 pounds of corn nuts all by myself.
That's not healthy.
So those are my New Year's resolutions. Let me know what yours were. I hope y'all had a great holiday season. I know I did. And I know you're probably wondering, what do you get a guy like me for Christmas? Well, Lindsay got me a couple of cool t-shirts, an Ice Nine Kills sweatshirt, a jar of artichoke dip, and season 2 of The Man Show on DVD.
Greatest thing ever.
So it was some good times, and I appreciate everyone out there who gave me your kind Christmas wishes. And thanks so much for listening this year. I can't wait for some more episodes in 2015. But right now, I'm going to play you my favorite song of the year. It's off my favorite CD of the year, The Resistance by Crown the Empire. The song is called Rise of the Runaways. It's just got everything I love in a song. Hooks, harmonies, and I just want to put my fist in the air every time I hear it. So I hope you enjoy it, and I'll be back soon with more fun and mayhem. But until then, this is Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like. unless it's me, and
rock on.
Well, if the water's so deep, then why are all of you still standing? And if the sinner's asleep, then how can I rattle this cage? I'm so sick of this dark gaze chasing me further underground. But I'll find my way to life, and you'll find your own demise. We were not born the enemy, and we will not stop for anything. So try to tell me all the things that I've done wrong. This fire will burn until we fall. Well, how am I supposed to feel like everything will be okay when you try to suffocate? Will it all revive the mind? So fuck off, you've dug your grave, and I will be just fine. Cause I'll find my way to life. Let's awaken.
Happy freaking New Year.
The end.